And even earlier on in the week, didn't realize until I guess maybe even yesterday or a couple of days ago that today would end up being September 11th, a day that I think most of us, I know there's some that's younger in here that wouldn't remember, but that's probably one of the most impactful days that I remember in our history in my lifetime. It was about this time, 21 years ago, at this time when things had already broken loose and already taken place and people were crying out for help. The nation was crying out for help. When's the last time we've really seen that? A nation joined together and crying out to God for help. But that's the title this morning, by the way. We need help. Our nation needs help. I need help. Our church needs help. There's people in the church. I don't know anybody that doesn't need help this morning in some way or another. And for the most part, very, very serious help. Very serious help. Let's be turned to Ephesians chapter number 6. We'll look at verses 10 through 18 this morning. While you're turning there, I just want to welcome each one. It's good to see Sarah's mother and sister with us this morning. We appreciate them. Anybody else that's visiting, please make yourself at home. We're just trusting the Lord this morning and trying to follow Him. You know, we've been studying a lot on the topic of spiritual warfare the last couple of weeks, and that's a very real thing. Just because it's something that you don't easily see or easily pick up with the eye, it's just as real as what you see on this physical side of life. It's just as real. If you ever get in a battle or get into it much at all, you'll know how real it is. You'll understand. I was thinking about this week and looking back over it, and it's amazing sometimes how the Lord will allow you. He'll pull back the veil. It's easy to think things are just kind of going good. If you're not personally going through something in your life, it's easy to feel that everything's going good. It's easy to feel that everything's okay. There's no worries or seemingly the people with you there may be healthy and seems like things are going on, but you know, when that tragedy strikes your house, that's when it becomes real to you. When that tragedy strikes you or one of your loved ones, it stops you on a dime. Remember Wednesday night, if you was here, we were talking about how the thief comes in. The thief don't try to come in normally while you're there. He wants to steal something while you're not looking. He wants to catch you by surprise. You know, that's exactly how this spiritual warfare works in our lives. Satan tries to throw things at you when you don't expect it, when you necessarily aren't looking. That's exactly how he tries to strike every single one of us. That's how he wants to fight the child of God. What else can he do to the child of God? You know, if you're saved and you're secured and you're on the way to heaven, what else can he do but try to make you miserable? He can't take your salvation. He can't take what you got on the inside, so he's going to try to attack you in different ways. This thing about spiritual warfare is a very real thing. We were talking about that this week. Me and Mom, different ones, just talking about, you know, if you really get in the fight against the devil, he will fight you back. Did you hear me? If you ever get in a fight with the devil, he will fight you back. If everything's just gliding smooth, I'd be careful. I'm not trying to get you down. I know how it is at my house. Things start going good. You start looking around real quick, Brother Bill, thinking, it's going too good. You wait for something bad to happen. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being prepared for reality. You look back to this time several years ago, 21 years ago, people crying out for help. The unexpected happening. In our lives, it's important that we keep our heads up and our eyes open and our minds affixed on the Lord. The things of His Word. We have protection. We're not just out here by ourselves trying to figure things out. We have protection. We're going to see that in these verses this morning. I hope and I pray that it helps you. I'm going to tell you, the Lord has laid a burden on my heart for this message, probably just as strong as about any that I can remember. If nobody else here needs it this morning, I know I do. I know it's for me. But I tell you, I believe it's for everybody here this morning. I believe that with all my heart. This thing about spiritual warfare, it's getting worse and worse and worse. Let's go back and think about this. Give you an illustration. You remember 9/11, when everything happened, who was running toward the fight? Wasn't it law enforcement, EMS, fire? The people, and I'm sure there were others, not to discredit that, I'm sure there were others. But was it not the people that was most equipped to fight that battle? That took bravery. That took courage. That took a little something extra, but they were the ones that had the tools, right? They're the ones that had the know-how, the knowledge, the tools, the training, had everything that they needed to go into battle. So we expect them to go. Well, if we're in a spiritual warfare, who do we expect to go? Who's the most equipped in a spiritual warfare? Who's the most equipped? The world? What do they put on, Brother Nathan? What does the world have to put on? In spiritual warfare, don't we talk about, or wouldn't we think about those soldiers, those Christian soldiers that are most equipped to go into battle? Who actually have something? I tell you, we'll get to this a little bit later, but one of the things I remember being in law enforcement, wearing all that stuff, man, day to day to day, that was so aggravating, wearing all that heavy stuff. I don't know how much weight it added. I see Sister Marilyn smiling. She knows. She's got a couple officers right there in her family. That stuff gets heavy. And you wear that stuff day in, day out, the boots, the pants, that duty belt. I can't remember. They said it weighed 30 pounds or something. You put the gun, you put the radio on it, you put all those things on, you carry. The thing I hated most was the vest. I hated that. I guess being a bigger guy, I didn't like that. Didn't fit in and out of the car good, Brother Dale. Couldn't breathe good. Men ain't supposed to wear girdles, I'm going to tell you. It just ain't supposed to be like that. I did not like wearing that thing. I couldn't breathe good. But you know, when somebody walk in, they'd hit you right in the chest. They'd take their flashlight and hit you right. It didn't hurt. I sure am glad it was there. But you think about when it, in the thick of battle, when it's actually taking place, and you're looking around, what do I do? What do I do? What do I have? And you got all those things on. It's like, I've got tools. I'm equipped. You see, the Lord has given us everything that we need to be equipped. He's given it to us. He's given us all the help that we need, but we need to ask Him for it. We need to reach out for it. We need to take advantage of it. I'm going to read a few verses here to get started, and we'll jump right in this morning. Ephesians 6, we'll start with verse number 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now pay attention to these verses here. This is the response. "Wherefore, taking to you the whole armor of God, that you be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt with truth, girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Josh, I'll ask if you will lead us to the Lord in prayer this morning. I believe if we are tuned in to our brothers and sisters and trying to take care of one another, you can look around very easily and see that pretty much everybody's in need of something. Most of it is very serious things, life-threatening things, things that have hit in our families. And we look around and so often we just say, why? Why did this have to happen, or why is this happening now? And I look back and I absolutely do not want to say this in any way to be discouraging, but I want to be truthful with you. If you are in the fight for the Lord, the devil's going to take note. Now, you've got a choice. You can say, well, I'm just not going to get in the fight. But if there's something on the inside that's calling you to do it, you better do it. If he's dealing with your heart about being saved, you better move. We don't know how much time we have. You think back at, again, 21 years, there's been other things that's happened. But you think back to that morning, that was probably the absolute last thing on those people's minds. Probably running late for work, trying to get to work, trying to get all those things done, the normal day-to-day stuff to get there and to be trapped there and not be able to leave there. See, we take things for granted. We get so complacent. Most often day-to-day, again, talking about wearing the uniform, you know, in the back of my mind, you know, I'd always say this to myself. Well, nothing's really going to happen. I don't need to wear all that junk today. Nothing is really going to happen. I'll be all right. I would rather be comfortable today. That's an easy way to look at it. Comfort over being able to have the things that you need. That's the easy way to look at it. This week, just looking back, it's amazing sometimes how the Lord reminds me of things, how He pulls the veil back sometimes so we can see. You think about the book of Revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's pulling the veil back to show who He is, how things are going to happen. We are so wrapped up in our day-to-day business that we often, I think, don't think about that until something happens. That's what stops us, and we have to look. And if you're prepared, you think, boy, I sure am glad that I did all these things today. I'm glad I had all these things in place today. If you're not prepared, you're caught off guard and you're frantic. You're trying to figure out how to get things back in line. Now, that is exactly how the devil would have you to be. I want you to understand that. Before we get into all these tools, all these things to our help, I want you to know up front, Satan wants to keep you away from those things. He wants you to have your mind on Him and the things that He wants you to be thinking about. He don't want you to be thinking about the bad things that's coming down. He wants you to think everything is okay. Everything's going smooth. Don't you worry. You don't need all them things. You don't have to worry about all that kind of stuff, all that church stuff, all that spiritual stuff. Hey, didn't you hear? We had 3 Sunbelt teams wear out the big boys. That's the most important thing. Ain't that right? I love sports. Today's the Lord's house. Today's the Lord's day. I wonder how many people at 10 o'clock was waiting over there instead of waiting in church. I'm just being honest. What's the most important thing to us this morning? I tell you, if no tragedy is going on, that'd be a wonderful place to be. Light and airy, everybody cheering, everybody happy. Nobody yelling at you from the pulpit, that'd be a great place to be. But when tragedy strikes, where do you want to be? As close to the Lord as you can be. And that's where we need to be all the time. I'm just telling you, things are happening so fast right now, we have to stay close to Him. He's our protection. He's our guide. He's the one that's staying with us. And I see this here in verse number 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Strong means having active power. There's active members of the church and there's inactive members. I don't know about you, but I want active power. I want active power to pray. I want active power from the Lord on my life when I need Him, that I know He's there. And I can feel Him. There's nothing in between us. Nothing more important than Him. Nothing. That's when I feel like I'm strongest in the Lord, when I'm in good standing with Him, when I'm following Him, and when I'm staying with Him. Not when I'm out doing other things. Not when He's on the back burner here somewhere. But when I know He's first in my life and I got Him out front, because it says here, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. My might only goes so far. My might might be more than somebody else's, but way less than somebody else's. We're all the same that way. My might, we can't depend on my might. We can't depend on the might of the flesh. But we can always depend on the might of the Lord. The one who has it all. The one who knows it all. The one who is everywhere. I think we talked about this on Wednesday night just a little bit. But you think about the human body and the things that's going on. He is the only one that truly knows everything about your body. Every single thing. Now some of us make it easier than others. He knows the amount of hair on your head. All the way down to everything that's going on in your body. You think about that. When things happen, when sickness falls, when things like that happen, I know it's in the Lord's hands. I don't know the whys. But He knows every single thing. He's the physician. He's the one that can go through and He can rearrange everything that's going on in that body. Nobody else can. A doctor can't. Well, they can help, but they cannot do what God can do to that body. He created it. He formed you in the belly before you were even born. He formed you in the belly. And He knows every single part, every single thing. He knows all those things. Nobody else can we cry out to for anything like that. You think about His might. He knows exactly how this thing is going to come to be at the end. Every single thing. He's the only one. Now you talk about following somebody, these unsure times, and I believe the rapture is on us. I believe it's as imminent as anything else, as anything could be. Is it not good to think about getting in right behind Him as close as you can and just staying there? I mean, if you don't know when it's going to happen, you kind of got to stay with Him the whole time, right? It's almost like that's by design, Brother Terry. That's where I want to be, right behind Him, right with Him. I won't get in front of Him. I want to be behind Him, following Him and trusting Him. Verse number 11, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." The whole armor. A lot of days I didn't want to do that. There's some days you felt like, well, it's going to be busy. We're serving search warrants today. We're actually going out in the field today. It's important today. So we'll do it that day. Like we have the ability to pick and choose when bad things are going to happen. When's the last time you had the ability to pick the bad thing that was happening to you? Were you able to put it in your schedule? Were you able to say, you know, I'm kind of busy these days here, but we're going to block this time period off for that bad thing to happen? Has anybody been able to do that? I haven't. There's days I feel like the hits just kind of keep on coming. All directions. Directions I wouldn't have thought anything about. Things I wouldn't even know about or anything. And you think, how did that happen? The closer you try to get to the Lord, the more you get in the fight, the more the devil takes notice. Now that could scare us and make us say, well, I don't want to do anything. Or that could say, you know what, I'm going to get in the fight for God anyway. With His help. Boy, I want to be as close to Him as I can be. I want to do what He would have for me to do this morning. Now I want us to look at this verse number 12 here. This is what we were reading a little bit on Wednesday night and kind of what brought me back to this. You imagine if you was in a warfare, spiritual warfare, any kind of warfare, and you had absolutely no weapons. You had nothing to fight with, Brother Dale. That'd be sad. That'd be scary. What would I do? What would you do? I guess I'm just going to get beat up. I guess I'm just going to take it. You know, when you think about the devil, I want us to understand this, and I'm not saying this to bring praise and glory to him in any way, but I want us to know nobody here can fight with the devil. No one here is any match for the devil in and of himself. I want us to know that. This flesh is weak. My flesh is just as weak as your flesh. You can't pedestal anybody. When the devil comes at you, you're going to know it. You know, a lot of us have bad days and bad things happen, but let me tell you, when the devil's after you, you're going to know that. There's a different air about it. There's a different feeling about it. He said, "Preacher, I just don't have days like that. I don't know what you're talking about. Try to do something for the Lord. Try to get in there for the Lord. Try to clear out all these things that would hinder a service or hinder anything in your life and say, Lord, I want you to have it all. I don't want you to leave nothing on the table. Try to live for him. Try to work for him. Try to do for him and see what happens." Again, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to prepare you. Look at these words, what it says here in verse number 12. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We wrestle not." I know Brother John Mark knows what this word means, wrestle. That means to struggle, to strive, and contend. When I was growing up, I had wrestling all backwards. that have these one-hour pitfalls and things like that. Oh, man, okay, these shows you see on NWA and WWE and all that kind of stuff, you know, they go around and do all that thing. But when I actually started going to high school, not been to collegiate wrestling yet, but when I went to these high school matches, I started really seeing what contending looked like. What are they, 3 minutes? 3 minute matches?
7 minutes in college, 6 minutes in high school.
That's not an hour. But I've never seen anything quite like that as far as watching people contend. They get in there with each other and they go all out with everything they've got. As a SRO, I was able to go and watch a few of these matches, and it was the hardest thing not to get in on. I was moving just as much as they were. I'm like, you just about got it. They're contending. They're fighting. They're struggling. They're moving. You say, well, I'm not really doing that with the spiritual realm. I don't know. You're not in there fighting. You see what it's saying here? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, what we see tangibly. Now you think about those wrestling matches. You think about those things that you can see, these two people wrestling one another, two tangible things that you can see. Now turn out the lights. Now you can't see who's coming at you or what's coming at you. You can't see that. You can feel it, but you can't see it. That's what the spiritual realm is like. We don't physically see it, but you sure can feel it. Don't you feel the Holy Spirit when He moves? He wants to understand when the devil comes at us, he comes at us to surprise us, not just all right here. That's the way he works. He comes at surprise, or by surprise. But I'm so thankful that we actually have protection. We see in those first three verses there, we see that our battle is against the devil. He is enemy number one, period. We see in these next verses here, we see our protection against the devil. We have a protection. And I thank God for it, because when I hear that I cannot contend with Him, when I cannot fight Him, when I cannot be a match for Him, then I get down and out. But then when I read these next few verses, it gets me a little bit excited. I know that I have a chance, not in and of myself, but of the Lord. We see here in verse number 13, it says, wherefore, taking to you the whole armor of God. He's reminding us to put on the whole armor. He says, slow down and take on the whole armor. Don't leave the house half-dressed. Put on the whole armor. You're going to need it all. When all these things start swirling and coming at you, you're going to need every tool that I'm giving you here. I wasn't going to use this analogy, but I will, because I watched it, and this is my takeaway from the game yesterday. Anytime you see an underdog go win against a stronger opponent, something has to happen, right? I mean, that just don't happen all the time. Or it wouldn't be a thing. So when we go into a battle against the devil, we know we're the underdog every time. You understand that, right? Just us in our own flesh. Yesterday, I mean, you know, we've had wins before and everything, but going into that game, Appalachia knew that they were the underdog, right? But when I watched that, the neat thing about it is, they weren't trying to hit the home run every single time. They weren't just getting back and throwing Hail Marys every single time, just hoping that maybe they would score and hoping maybe they would win. They didn't do that. They took every play seriously, every small part seriously. It was what I would call fundamental. You know, some people get afraid of that word fundamental. I like fundamental. It means staying with the basics. Staying with the Bible. Slow down. We're not trying to hit a home run every single time. Slow down. He gives us small things here, fundamentals. They fundamentally built that game, and you know what happened? That underdog actually controlled that game. It wasn't this last second thing that happened that, oh my goodness, they miraculously won. They were in control of that game the whole time. Do you see it, Brother Dale? The whole time. I didn't see them sweating and worrying what's going to happen next. They had control. It was fundamentals. Fundamentals. You know, that's what the Lord is trying to show us here. Fundamentals. Stay in control of yourself. People get out of control. A lot of times it's because it's out of fear. fear the unknown. Something strikes you fast and hard, and your mind starts swirling so fast you can't comprehend all the things. You imagine how Job felt trying to comprehend all of those things at the same time. The human body's not made that way. The devil knows that. If he can get you out of control in your life, he's got you right where he wants you. You're a sitting duck. I'm a sitting duck. We get all out of sorts. We're not following the Lord. We're not having these things placed in front of us like we're getting ready to read. It's like all that goes out the window. I'll use this too. I'm not going to try to be too sports analogy heavy, but I thought about this morning when I was getting ready, and I'm not a fan, but Mike Tyson, he said, everybody has a plan until he gets punched in the mouth. Now, I want you to think about that. Oh man, that's true. Sunday morning right now, Sister Kim right now, I mean, I'm on fire. I want to tell you, physically I came in tired, but spiritually I came in energized. But I tell you, you can feel like this, you can step out in the world and you get punched in the mouth and you're like, what am I going to do that quick? Then you start looking for your weapons. You start looking around, well, how am I going to combat this? How am I going to stand against this? Verse 13, it says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. There are sometimes all you can do is just stand. There ain't a thing you can say. There's not a thing you can do. There's not a person you can go to. There's none of that. You've got all these things lined up, and all you can do is just stand in it. I'll ask you this. How many of you believe in the U.S. military? How many of you support the U.S. military? How many of you support our law enforcement? How many of you support our first responders? How many of you support our U.S. Constitution? You know, I put my hand on a Bible a few times and I swore to uphold that Constitution, that I would protect that I would follow that, I would follow the Constitution even if somebody else tried to get me to move off of that and do something else. Did you know that's enough to get you in trouble today? I'm not kidding with you. I'm talking about from the top down. Did you know that's enough to get you in trouble today? The authorities that be, the principalities, the spiritual wickedness in high places, they say, you do what I say, not what that Constitution says. Now, wait a minute, Brother Dale. I didn't swear to their allegiance. It was that U.S. Constitution. And I believe with all my heart that U.S. Constitution was based off of this. So therefore, I'm holding up this. So now, that's all it's going to take. It's easy sometimes if you think, well, that's not going to come to my house. I promise you, it could very easily come to your house. Having this in your house, I don't know how it's all going to end, but having this in your house could be enough. That could be enough to put you in jail. I'm just being honest. It's like this. Interpretation of law, and I'm going way off of what I was thinking about, but interpretation of law can be very different with people. It can. You get in front of a certain magistrate read the law book and say, you know what, I think these elements do meet. Here's the warrant. Go pick them up. A person can get arrested for anything in this day and time based off of interpretation of the law, even if they're not guilty. But how many people who are arrested and charged are not perceived guilty, even if they are not? It's already hit the news then. That's what makes the news. That's what makes the splash. A lot of times you might not get the acquittal part if they were not found guilty. But I'm telling you, it's coming in this day and time that I think the only thing that the Christian people can do is just stand for what's right. Stand on it, not move off of it. Not be afraid and backpedal off of it. There's enough of that going on today, people trying to find that middle ground. When it's black and white, there's no other middle ground. You just got to stand. Stand firm. The Lord says here in His Word, Paul says, by the guidance of the Lord, it says here, verse number 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. You look at the loins, that's the area from the lowest rib to to the top of the thigh. I don't know if you might have been here when Brother Ben Carper, he was talking about that. I think he did that here. Maybe it was a graduation service, but he was talking about that. This is the strongest point for the human body. This is where you stand up. This is where you walk. This is where you move. This is where you have your power. And you know where? What else? Your backbone. That's where your backbone is located. And he's saying here, having your loins girt about with truth, the truth of the Bible. You know, truth is what holds this uniform together. Without truth, it's not going to hold together. You have to know the truth, and you have to stand for the truth, and you have to stay with the truth. Stand therefore, having your loins girt together about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness. That righteousness, that means the purity of heart. That protection of the heart. You know, God is the only one that can truly protect your heart. The breastplate of righteousness, I was thinking about that and studying on that. We think that we can control that. Our heart is evil and wicked, desperately wicked above all things. God is the only one that can actually protect our heart, because our heart just says, I won't. I see and I go after. But the Lord can change that heart to desire. Me and Josh were talking about this, talking about having the desires of your heart. He will give you the desires you're supposed to have if you get close to Him. If you're far off from Him, you're just going to desire what you want, and that's it. You're going to chase after those things, and that will pull you away from God. He's saying having your heart right, having your heart protected, having that purity of heart protected behind that breastplate. Verse number 15, it says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your feet shod. Shod, that means shoe. Have you ever been around military folks or law enforcement folks? Have you seen the shoes that they wear? I was taking note of it this way. I don't see a lot of flip-flops in emergency management. I don't. I don't see a lot of slippers. I don't see a lot of sliders. I was thinking about that this morning too. People, if it's raining or whatever and you need to run out to the mailbox real quick, I've got Crocs, you put those on, you get in a hurry, you can slip right out of those things. They don't have a lot of what? Traction. And I think that's what happens to people a lot in this day and time. They don't have any traction. They're spinning their wheels. They're staying in the same spot, just spinning. Don't have any traction. Not moving forward. That's a desperate place to be if you're not moving forward for the Lord. But he's saying with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the preparation, being prepared with the gospel of peace, the good news, the peace is coming. He's coming. The King of Peace is coming. That's the best news I can give you this morning. I don't have a good forecast of what I'm seeing on the news. I really don't. Not down here. I don't see a lot of good excitement when I see all these things. You talk about inflation. You talk about how all these things are coming together. Just like was said this morning, all these things going into place for that one world order. But Brother Dale, I'm looking forward to that peace afterwards. You see, I'm a soldier in that army, not this army. You can only take so many oaths on this side of eternity that you start breaking oaths. And this is where your oath needs to lie, right here in God's Word. Your allegiance to His Word, to being faithful to Him. There's a lot of things you could boast for or try to make an oath for. But I'm telling you, God's Word is where we need to be staying. We see also right here it says, a feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, he's saying, when you say above all, that means the most important thing. Above all these things that I've just given you, it says here, above all things, taking the shield of faith. There's that word faith again. It comes into play a lot, Brother Norman. The shield of faith. You're seeing these defensive things here. The shield of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's the best definition you'll find of what faith is. One of my favorite words about that, Brother Dale, is substance. Substance. Substance is something that stands all by itself. That means when there's nothing else, a substance stands all by itself. And faith is a substance. It stands by itself. What does that mean? It says here, if you go down and read it, it says, above all things, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench
some of the fiery darts of the wicked. Well, that's pretty good, ain't it? You got some protection, right? Some. It says all, Brother Garrett, all. All of these darts that are coming from you, at you from all directions, all of them quench. That means to put out. That means to extinguish. Those fiery darts that hurt, brother, faith puts them out. That doesn't say you have to get out here and talk and do all these things. It says just have faith. It also means silence. Quench means to silence. You hear people talking? All the things they got to say, maybe want to say about you, other people, all this talk. You stand behind the shield of faith. God said that He would silence them. You don't even have to talk. You know, if you're in His will and you're equipped with His weaponry that He has, the protection that He has, He will fight those battles for you. I'm going to tell you this. So I was studying, I thought about this morning. I think the hardest times that I have with my faith is when I'm not right with God. When I'm not in fellowship with Him, that's when my faith wavers the most. Because I feel unworthy to even ask Him for His help. I feel unworthy to call on Him for His help. You go back and you play this back in your mind. Okay, why does the devil want to tempt you to do bad things to get you out of fellowship with God? So you're afraid to ask for help, so He can come in and swoop in and do what He's going to do. Again, fundamentals, these small things. Every bit of these things matter. Every single bit of those things that we've read about here, every single one of them matter. That's why He says twice, the whole armor. Don't leave any of these things out. You know, there's vulnerable spots on your police uniform. You're taught as an officer, don't stand a certain way. Don't move your arms a certain way. Don't do certain things because it exposes your weakness. Every piece of armor we have that God has given to us is important. We got to use it right. Not get complacent with it. Not toss it around like it's not important, but take care of it. I like this right here too. Verse 17. Take special note of this right here. Verse 17. And the helmet of salvation. The helmet, that covers the head, right? Isn't salvation in the heart? I mean, doesn't that make sense? What do you mean? Helmet of salvation. Helmet of being preserved up here. Because a lot of the battle's right here. We're talking about facts over feelings. See, the heart's all about feelings. The mind's all about facts. Tell me the facts. I may have said this before, but I'm going to say it right here. Preacher Carl said it. He said, preacher? Or he said, he's asking the question, and he was saying it like this. He said, preacher, you honestly believe you have eternal life? He said, I've done everything that book tells me I have to do to have it. See, that's a fact. It's not a feeling. It's a fact. You know, 1 John chapter number 5, we'll get there soon on our Wednesday nights, but 1 John 5, verse 13, I want us to think about this here. 1 John 5:13, if you don't have this circled in your Bible or highlighted, please do. Because you know, I know a lot of people's battle is doubt. Talk to several people about that. Can you know? Can you know? Is that something you can know? 1 John 5:13. And we'll get to this on our Wednesday night studies, but I wanted to read this one verse to us this morning. This is an assurance that we have. It says, these things have I written, and we'll study that, Lord willing, later, but these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. That's Jesus. That ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. Now, why do you think that that's put in there like that? You know, if the devil can keep a person in the constant state of, do I have it or do I not? Do I have it or do I not? That person is not in the fight. That person is constantly worried. You know, right now, if I didn't know if I was saved, I don't know what I'd do, Brother Norman. I don't think I could function. Because all I would be doing is looking up, waiting for the Lord to return. And I'd be scared to death that I'm not going with him because I don't know. I don't have that peace.
But you know, there in 1 John, it says that ye may know you have eternal life. I see this as a correlation here in verse 17, and take on the helmet of salvation. That you can know that protection. You get that in your mind? That even when the worst of worst things happen, you know where you're going. Brother Buster Mullins used this one time, or used this on Monday night. In his service, he was talking about a church where this person came in and was going to threaten to kill the preacher. He's trying to get him to denounce his faith. And he said, if I put a gun to your head and told you to denounce God, you wouldn't do it. He said, no, you're threatening me with heaven. Why would I do that? I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. I hope you know where you're going this morning. I hope you have that peace. That's what he's talking about. If you're going back and forth with that, there's no peace. The devil's got you locked. You're scared to do anything. You're afraid to move. You're in that fatal funnel, they call it. That's where you get in a doorway and freeze. And then the enemy can do whatever. You got to know. You got to know. You have eternal life. You have to know that if you've accepted the Lord, you have eternal life. 1 John 5:13. We see here in 17 it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the word and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Looking at that this week and praying, thinking about some battles going on. You know the sword, I'll say this before I go forward. You know where the sword is supposed to be carried? In the back dash of your vehicle, is that right? Isn't that right? Trunk. We don't have back dashes much anymore. We have a lot of hatchbacks now. Where's the sword carried? It's on the side, isn't it, Miss Jan? It's right there, isn't it? I mean, you don't know when you're going to need it. So you got to have it close to you. You got to have it with you. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I want to read Psalm 91 to you, just the first seven verses. I want you to think about this. Somebody shared this with me this week. You think about going through battles. You think about going through things in your life, spiritual battles, things you can't control. Psalm 91. Verse 1, it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Boy, there's a lot of noisome pestilence going on. He shall cover thee with his feathers under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. His truth, what holds you together. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor by the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. That's God's protection. That's the protection that the child of God has on top of all these things. That's the protection that we have in God's word. Verse number 18, quickly, it says here, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That means keeping our head up, being prepared and watching. There's too many things that grab our attention and run us away. And that's what surprises me, and maybe it shouldn't, but that's what surprises me when we see these national events happen. It seems like there is a flocking to very quickly and a falling away just as fast. I don't know how many people, when COVID hit, I don't know how many people reached out to me and said, this has got to be it. He's coming back. I saw more interest in God's word
during that period of time probably than I have during my entire ministry, to be honest with you. It was coming from all angles. I was getting texts and Facebook messages, people wanting to know, people were afraid they were lost, people wanting to know how to get saved. And as time went on, a little bit more complacent. And you see what happened. It just kind of fell. How many of these things are going to happen that people don't even get interested anymore? We've seen this before. We've seen things like this before. You know, the Lord's going to come as a thief in the night when nobody's looking. 9/11, people were looking. Partway through COVID, people were looking. It's going to the place where people aren't looking. And he's going to come back. But you see here, we're without excuse. He's given us the guidebook, the plan book. Here's the plan. We're not in the dark. I'm going to close with these last two verses because I appreciate what Paul said here. And it's a prayer request. Verse 19, it says, and for me, he's saying all these things. He was saying to the church here at Ephesus, he was saying to them, but he said in verse 19, he said, and for me, that my utterance may be given unto thee, that I preach unto you correctly, that I speak to you correctly, that I may open my mouth boldly and to make known the mystery of the gospel. You know, church, I want you to, my prayer request to you is that the Lord will allow me to preach boldly the rest of my ministry. I don't want to lose that. I can honestly tell you that this is the most exciting thing in my life. Coming to church, preaching, being with you, seeing people saved. This is the most exciting thing in my life. I don't ever want to lose this. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm as vulnerable as the next person. I don't want to lose this. When the Lord comes back, I don't want to be doing this unless he takes me by way of the grave. This is what I want to be doing. He's saying, and for me, that the utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. That's my prayer request for me. But church, I hope this has been a blessing to you this morning. I hope it's been a help to you. I know so many people in here that is going through so much. I've been praying and asking the Lord to show what would be the best way to help and the best way to give guidance, and the Lord led me right here immediately. So I believe with all my heart this message is for somebody here today. I think it's here for multiple people. I'll be honest with you, it's for every single one of us. But you know what's in your heart this morning. You know what you stand in need of. And I'll ask you, if you will, to stand with me today. I'll ask the ladies to come.